closely. And
Yes.
then these 3 days, 8 to 9:30, there will be lectures on Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. And then on the weekend, on Sunday, 29th morning, the main temple lecture at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Nowadays, we don't have a Sunday program, so the morning Bhagavatam is the Sunday program also. So 29th, he will be speaking at Chopati, in case anyone wants to catch him live there at Chopati. So let us express our gratitude to
Hare Krishna.
Shruta Kirti Prabhu. And Vishakha Mataji, who has joined him from Sridham Vrindavan by loudly chanting, Haribo, Haribo.
Thank you. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Bala Bagiri Vanadari Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bagiri Vanadari Jaya Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bagiri Vanadari Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bagiri Vanadari Jaya Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhajat Kacharya Asutara Satasi Simadhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale. This is okay now. Thank you. Thank you now. Hare Krishna. So, as Gauranga Prabhu mentioned, I'm here for a few days. He asked me to come. He's already explained everything. Of course, I'm very, very happy to be here. And I was delighted to see Maharaj the other day for our mango festival. I was in the temple, of course. I was putting on so many figures. I said 1,700 mangoes, 17,000 mangoes. Then I finally arrived at the close, I guess, proper number, 5,000 mangoes. I was asking the devotee, so what is the festival? He said, it's the mango festival. I said, well, that was, I guess it was a foolish question. It was the mango festival. So, and then, of course, and I'm sure all of you, you heard Maharaja's class that day. I saw him in Juhu just before I was coming here. He was arriving in Juhu to go to the airport that day. And I told him it was the shortest three-hour class I ever sat at. He laughed. He said, thank you, thank you. And it was. I'm sure if you heard that class, it was from beginning to end. It was just a most wonderful and amazing class. And just like here today, of course, we have Srimad Bhagavatam class, and talking about Srila Prabhupada, we call that person Bhagavat. Huh? All we know from Bhagavatam is what Srila Prabhupada has told us. So, of course, this is, Prabhupada was the Bhagavata, living Bhagavata. And as he said, I'm started out in New Vrindavan. with a short stint before that in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I was, if you give me a few minutes, I was kind of going to go back to the very beginning, because it's all about Srila Prabhupada. He's the person that has given us everything. So I'm going to tell you a little story with your permission. So I was looking at the age of 19, like so many people I see now in India, coming to Vrindavan, thousands. They're all 19, 20, 21 years old, studying for their degrees and different things. But when you're that age, you start to question everything. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And for most of us at that time in the 60s and early 70s, we were really questioning. And it's happening again because of so much discord in the world. You start to, what am I doing? Anyway, I met the devotees first time on April 22nd, 1971. And the reason I know the date is because it was Earth Day. It was an ecological day. 1970 was the very first Earth Day, which was all about becoming green, not wasting any water, not all these things. This is not something that's just happening. This has been going on for over 50 years now. And of course, during those 50 years, there hasn't been any progress at all. It's been very much the opposite. Everything has gotten so much worse. But there's a certain percentage of people that question these things. My friend and I went to this Earth Day Festival in Philadelphia, Fairmount Park, very big park, one of the biggest city parks in all of the USA. And there were groups performing rock music, you know, local bands doing, they say cover songs, you know, singing the songs of big, big rock stars. So there are many, many hundreds of people there. And my friend and I, we were also there. And we were both looking for God. I hadn't been looking long, and nor was I looking through the idea of reading books, trying to understand philosophically. I was raised a Catholic boy, my Italian descent. If you're Italian descent, you were a Catholic, there's no question. Went to church every week. At 8 years old, they made me an altar boy. So I was ringing bells. I was a pujari at 8 years old on the altar with the priest. And so then, and we learned God was a person. Catholicism, Christianity, they accept God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son was the spiritual master, Jesus in that case, the Holy Spirit was Paramatma. I didn't know any of these things, nor did I try to figure it out through books. I was one of those that didn't read Autobiography of a Yogi. Nor did I hear George Harrison singing My Sweet Lord. But I really wanted to experience God, not just hear about him. I wanted to experience him. Anyway, at this festival, down in the valley, there was 10 to 20 of these yellow dhotis, kurtas, yellow saris, because there were no dhotis, no kurtas. This is 1970 in the USA. No Indian stores to go to, no gift shops in temples. There were no temples. So everything was bought at a cloth shop, big rolls of cloth, boom. You made dhotis, kurtas, like that. Anyway, my friend said, let's go see them. I kept, no way. These people, I was looking for their spaceship, you know, where they came from, these funny-looking people with shiny heads. Back in those days, you shaved your head every day, and they put tilak on with Fuller's Earth, which was something you bought in a hardware store to patch plaster. You know, holes. So when you put it on, it was there till you went to bed. It was actually nice. You never had to reapply tilak because you painted it on. Anyway, from that very day, both my friend and I went up to them and I asked who God was. And they told me. And for the first time, Imagine. You have to imagine this. I even try to explain it to my wife, who was born into Krishna consciousness. Her parents were devotees. You cannot understand the feeling. It's not just one lifetime, millions of lifetimes wandering around, and all of a sudden somebody just hands you, literally hands you a Krishna book, hands you Krishna, just like that. Answered all my questions. And we're known for that, Hare Krishnas. They can answer any question, no problem. They told me his name, Krishna. Then it went on, his brother's name, mother's name. I found out so many things. And I accepted everything 100%. I think mainly because I was a lazy person. I didn't want to have to read. But I found the proper people. My friend and I, we went to the temple every day for the rest of the week. That was Sunday. We went every day for evening Bhagavad Gita class. And then that Saturday, 6 days later, by the influence of Kirtanananda Maharaj, who stopped at the temple one evening, he just grabbed us, you know. He saw. That's what it was like. You would see these shaven. Well, we weren't shaven then. So he grabbed us and said, come to Pittsburgh. They were in the process of buying Bahulaban. At that time, they called it Brajbhumi, which is the main temple in New Vrindavan, Bahulaban Farm. So he had just purchased it. So my friend and I, that Saturday, we took a train from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, maybe 10 hours or something like that. And we arrived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where there was a small temple. And we moved in. We shaved up that day. That's what you did. You shaved your head as soon as you moved into the temple. We both had hair. Mine, if you see, I have this curly. My hair was like this. His was just long. Beards, we all beards, mustaches. Boom, just like that, shaved it off. So we were there for 2 weeks before we finally got to go to New Vrindavan. Within those 2 weeks, day number two, I became the temple commander. Which meant you had to go around in the morning blowing a conch shell at 4 o'clock, waking everyone up. And then another day later, I became the shipper for Spiritual Sky, because Pittsburgh was East Coast, West Coast was Los Angeles. Because my previous job, I was a shipper in a thread mill. So they said, what did you do? I said, I was a shipper. Okay, boom. That's what it was like. There's no question of just sitting around chanting. We chanted our rounds, but busy all the time, busy. So then after that 2 weeks, went to New Vrindavan, both my friend and I. And we actually were part of a group of 8 to 10 devotees that opened up Bahulaban. All of a sudden, there's a half a dozen cows there. Just a little austere farmhouse. No running water inside, a well outside for water. And, you know, another 20 meters away was the outhouse. So it was very simple, austere lifestyle. The point I'm saying all this is, now I've been hearing a class every day for 2 weeks. 1 week going to the temple in Philadelphia in the evening after or college classes, and then the next week in the Pittsburgh temple, hearing from people that have been devotees 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, and they're all giving classes. So on that time, now it's May 6th, I've been in the temple for 1 week, and Mother's Day had just gone by. And I'll show you, we were fanatic. But I wasn't so fanatic that I didn't contact my mother. My father died when I was just 3 years old. And I wrote her on the back of this. This was the first, flyer they made for the Radha Krishna Temple album. So we were passing these flyers out in the street. And on here it says, of course, this album with pictures full text produced by George Harrison. That's all you had to do was mention George Harrison in those days. You could sell anything based on George. His first recording of pure devotional songs in the ancient spiritual language Sanskrit. Vibrations of these mantras reveal to the receptive hearer and chanter the realm of Krishna consciousness, joyfully experienced as a piece of self-awareness of God or Krishna. These eternal sounds of love release the hearer from all contemporary barriers of time and space. Hare Krishna, Apple Records. So I wrote the letter to my mother on the back of this. And here's what I wrote to her. This was a picture of my mother at about 90 years old. She died at 90 on Janmashtami Day. That was also Srila Prabhupada's arrangement. And she was a very wonderful person who raised three children by herself. She never smoked, never drank, never yelled, never cursed. She was a very pious Catholic lady. And she, at the end of her life, she said she was just waiting to go back to her Lord. So here's my letter. Again, this is May 6th, 1971, and I'm 19 years old. And I've been hearing classes for 2 weeks, and there's no time to read. You know, your reading meant you attended class, basically. Free time was almost unheard of, especially under Kirtanananda Maharaj. And I think Radhanath Maharaj picked up that a little bit. He knows how to keep everyone very busy in Krishna's service. So again, I'm 19 years old. I'm writing to my very pious mom. Dear mom, I hope everything is going nicely for you and that you're keeping yourself busy. I thought it would be nice to write to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Since you are probably interested in how I'm doing, I can tell you that I'm making very nice progress in Krishna consciousness. I am really enjoying it. The food is really good. I'm assuring her now, you know, mothers and food, that's everything, right? How you're eating. The food is really good. Everything is made since it is being prepared for Krishna. I will probably be staying here for quite a while since I am needed here more than in Philadelphia. You don't have to worry as to whether I'm doing the right thing because I know it is. I underlined it. I know it is. Krishna, God, only wants us to turn all our love to Him. Christ said one should love with their whole heart, soul, and mind. Then we can become eternally happy, starting in this life. So this is the only thing that can make us happy all the time, since everything in the material world is temporary. So you should stop praying for me. I was assuring her that I'm in the right place, so I don't require your prayers. You know, mother's always praying, and I'm sure she was praying more intensely than ever that somehow or other I would realize something. So this is the only thing that can make us happy all the time, since everything in the material world is temporary. You should simply... Oops. You should simply pray. So you should stop praying for me. Everything is all right. You should pray to God and tell Him you love Him. This is all He wants everyone to do. Try to think of God as much as possible. After all, everything belongs to Him. So we should realize this. Even one's own life is His. So if we realize this, we can become happy. I will try to write again soon. Just think about what I said. I hope I made it clear enough. Just remember, anything that makes us love God more than anything is good, regardless of what the religion is called. Tell Carol, Carol's my older sister, 5 years older, she's in the convent, she's a nun. Right after high school, she dumped her boyfriend and joined the convent. She was in the convent for 30 years or more. Tell Carol I'll try to write to her soon and fill her in this process of Krishna consciousness. And I will tell her about the relationship we all can have with him simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. On the other paper, you will see a picture of Krishna that will be appearing on an album being put out by George Harrison for us soon. Tell Kenny, he was my best friend, to buy it. It's the best album ever recorded. Tell all I said hi. Hare Krishna, Vin. I don't need any clothes as of yet. So this is after being in a temple for 2 weeks. This was Srila Prabhupada's potency. Just wanted to see everyone. In the meantime, we're living on the farm. I'm a city boy from Philadelphia. I was saying, I never saw a cow until I went to New Vrindavan. I mean, live. I knew what a cow looked like. Saw pictures of different animals, but I actually never saw a cow. Now I'm milking cows in New Vrindavan. That was 1971. If we go back a little bit, we know Kirtanananda and his godbrother Hayagriva, they purchased the first property in West Virginia. At that time, farms... You know, it's kind of funny, the whole Earth Day, the green movement is beginning, but farms are disappearing, personal farms, turning into mass production, you know, thousands of acres growing this, growing that. But farmers like you had here, that was going on in the U.S., huh? All the Europeans, everyone was farmers, everyone grew food. But they systematically broke down all of these things, you know, like Prabhupada said, you can't eat nuts and bolts. And they're finding that out today very much. In the U.S., there's major catastrophe. They can't get baby formula to feed their children, their babies. Never mind breastfeeding. It's reduced to this in society. So many difficulties are there. So and immediately Prabhupada told them what to do in New Vrindavan. Build 7 temples. Just like Lord Chaitanya said, this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra would be spread to every town and village. Well, even the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and most Vaishnavas, they considered it a very poetic, wonderful statement, but not practically that it could happen. Fortunately for all of us, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he took everything very literally. So that's what he wanted. How is this going to happen? How could he help his spiritual master spread Krishna consciousness all around the world? New Vrindavan, the very first farm, immediately Prabhupada wanted them to build 7 temples. So again, they're thinking, sounds very nice. Doing anything in America is not a very easy thing. Requires millions of dollars, huh? And he also gave them another instruction, because they asked. They were thinking they could raise money. West Virginia was one of the biggest coal-producing states in the United States. So there was lots of coal there, underground. Huh? You had to, of course, go into the ground and do it. So they asked Prabhupada if that was okay. No, Prabhupada told them. We're trying to establish Varnashram Dharma here. We want to have farms growing our own foods here to offer to the deities. Huh? We want to build the temple. He wanted to make New Vrindavan. And it was wonderful. Of course, we know when Prabhupada left Radha Damodar Temple, and of course I traveled with him, everywhere he went, his room was like Vrindavan. He had his cushion on the floor, little coffee table. He didn't care about our dining room tables and chairs and living room sofas, couches, all these things. He literally, in every way, he brought Vrindavan all around the world. And the idea of Vrindavan life, simplicity. Of course, we know that saying, simple living, high thinking. Simple living doesn't mean easy living. Sometimes we confuse that idea, simple, because simple means uncomplicated. But it also means hard work. In Vrindavan, we understood hard work from Kirtanananda. He said, we're living Bhagavad Gita, not reading Bhagavad Gita. So that was our process there in Vrindavan. Work, work, work. Up early in the morning. Morning program was there. Everything just like here. But boom, from breakfast on, there was so much work to do on the farm. And Prabhupada wanted to show these ideal society in every way. You know, for the past 3 years and over the years, I live in Vrindavan. And although it's become very densely populated around Krishna Balaram Mandir and the village, what was the village of Vrindavan and now a town, a city, whatever you call it, as soon as you go 5 minutes out, there's nothing but agriculture everywhere. That's why even now I consider it a nice place to be, just in case. You know, their crops are there. Every evening, a different little village, they have like their farmers markets. They all bring everything. And you can go there and get right from the grower, you can buy lots of loki. Loki everywhere. But that's Vrindavan. We see fields of grain are there. No rice, I don't think. You're growing rice, right? Yeah. We have our farm there now. So this was the life that Prabhupada wanted in Vrindavan. The one thing I see that's prevented this for the 50 years, where do we make devotees? We don't make devotees in the country. We make them in the city. And to get city people to live in the country, very, very difficult. I'll be explaining. So now I'm in the temple, I'm Vrindavan. I'm milking 6 cows a day by hand, twice a day. I did that for some months. Then after being there for just 1 year, after 3 months, I had first initiation in New York City. First time I met Srila Prabhupada. That was exactly 3 months to the day, from April 22nd, May, June, July 22nd, I received first initiation. And and we had to learn everything. We didn't know anything. Krishna book had come out, so now we're becoming attached to Krishna through these Krishna book stories. And my service was, in Vrindavan, my first service, Kirtanananda, he was training me in such a way. So during lunch prasadam, my service was reading Krishna book. And after everyone had lunch, then I would take lunch. And then in the evening, we would have our milk and popcorn, lots of milk in Vrindavan. And before they brought in the cream separator, we had whole milk from Jersey cows. It was yellowish tint. The top, it looked like there was a little turmeric in there. It was so golden from the cream from these cows. And I'm milking a little, whatever, a little cake, bread, a little popcorn. And in the evening, neither did I eat at that time when everyone else was taking prasadam. I would tell them the story that I read at lunchtime, not read it to them. Whatever I could remember, I would repeat it. And then we would take rest. So I had this one service of Krishna book reading. So then I get initiated by Prabhupada. they had to tell us everything. Left side to the Vyasa-san. And the whole time you're sitting there, he's initiating this astronomical number of people. 10 a day. Yes. Not 10,000, 10. Every day for over a week. That was so many devotees at that time to be getting initiated. And hundreds are in the temple. And I saw Prabhupada for the first time. From the day you entered the temple, you heard Prabhupada's stories. I was hearing Prabhupada's stories from the very day. When I entered, right after I entered, Prabhupada went to Russia. That was amazing. For us as Westerners, Americans, you know, the Russians, the Iron Curtain, bread lines, milk lines, this is all we knew about Russia. Godless civilization, demoniac people, all these things, of course, we were fed this in school. Of course, much of it was true, like the bread lines and milk lines, lines for sugar, all these things were going on. But we heard a story that came back, it filtered back within days, which was amazing because you didn't call anywhere on the telephone outside of your local community. Long-distance calls cost dollars a minute, which is a lot of money. But we heard Prabhupada was in Russia, and we heard how he met Professor Katovsky, and he met that one boy. What's his name, Vishaka? Ananda? Ananda Shanti Prabhu, yes. Who Prabhupada gave that one person the seed of devotion. Imagine, he found that one person. Krishna sent him that one person that was necessary. Out of millions, he came to Prabhupada. This is the potency of the pure devotee. Without any realization, any austerity, any practices, he could give you that. Ultimately, we have to understand that. You can chant all you want. You can read all you want. You can serve all you want. But without the mercy of the pure devotee, we can't get anywhere. But the mercy is always there. As Prabhupada would say, you just have to take it. You just have to stand in the sunshine. But what we heard that one day, it was a Sunday. And they went out, and Shyama Sundar, and I think Aravinda was with him, one other devotee. They went and they managed to get milk, sugar, and rice. So what do you do with those three ingredients? You make sweet rice. They made sweet rice. Prabhupada said, make sweet rice. So they made sweet rice. And then they had so much sweet rice, and they didn't have anywhere to put all of it. So Prabhupada told them, now I'm hearing this in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, use his lota. And none of us even knew what a lota was. Nowadays, here in India, people don't know what a lota is. They know little plastic, nasty plastic cups they have everywhere, you know. But these were nice bell metal lota, Prabhupada's lota. He said, put the sweet rice in the lota. You all know where the lota goes, right? It's in the bathroom. So you don't put sweet rice in a lota where you spit in your spittoon, you're taking it into the toilet. No, that's maya. And then I heard these magical words you would hear all the time. What are they? Time, place, and circumstances. Prabhupada was not a fanatic. I was very happy to hear that. In the beginning, Prabhupada was not a fanatic, so they had the sweet rice in this lota. I'm telling you this because it'll come up a little later. So then in Brooklyn, New York, 436 Henry Street, you see Srila Prabhupada. You see his effulgence. You can see his effulgence. And of course, he's golden. And his eyes are always wet, always. And our understanding was it was just tears of love of Godhead. And devotees would look at him. And I learned over time, because I was also one of those. You would look at Prabhupada and you would think, he sees all of my dirt, all my sins of millions of lifetimes, all my, he sees this nasty person. I learned after being with him, that's not at all what Prabhupada saw. He saw devotee, 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 just these people, I just need to encourage them to do what is natural for them. That's what Prabhupada saw. He saw beautiful Vaishnavas. So then my name was called Vin from the secretary. And you're petrified. And you don't can't think at all because he's right in front of you. He steals your intelligence. I've seen my intelligence stolen so many times. The simplest thing you can forget, if Krishna makes you forget, And you can remember something that could be 50 years away and it can just pop into your head. Remembrance and intelligence comes from Krishna. But I had been meditating, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, because sometimes you'd forget. You're doing all of it, but your brain has become jelly in front of Prabhupada. Anything could happen. But I was, and he asked me, what are the regulative principles? No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Gopi Puranadhan, he forgot no intoxication. Prabhupada laughed. He said, aha. Right? Gopi Puranadhan, the genius scholar. Only by Krishna. Everything coming from Krishna and now through our spiritual master. So then Prabhupada looked at me. How many rounds? He didn't say in chant 16. To me, see, because Prabhupada knows each and every one of us. So he phrased it a little different. How many rounds do you chant? And I chant 20 rounds a day. So I was proud. I was doing 4 extra rounds in New Vrindavan. That wasn't an easy activity. And Prabhupada looked at me and he kind of went, That was my first... That was my first mistake. And then he said, and your name is Shrutakirti. He said, and Shrutakirti is the name of Krishna. And all the hundreds of devotees packed into this temple room. They go, oh, Haribol. And then again, Prabhupada looked and said, and you are Shrutakirti Das. Well, again, very often he would give me little... put you in your place whenever pride arose. Then I went back to my place and he said, what was your name? I said, I don't know. I had never heard it before. After the ceremony, we would go to the front door of Prabhupada's room in Prajumna. He would put your name and your Sanskrit name with diacritics. So you would write your name down, put it on here. So you had to learn your name as well as everybody else. So then I go back to New Vrindavan. I did some touring with Kirtanananda, college preaching, born-again Christian churches. They chanted and danced to other tunes. That's what I went to before becoming a devotee. I wanted to feel like they felt. I wanted to feel the Lord. I was feeling the Lord. In the temple, I was feeling the Lord all the time and feeling Prabhupada's mercy. Yudhisthira, you can't imagine. You're in complete darkness. Imagine a room, no windows, no doors, no anything, not a speck of light. And the door just doesn't crack open. It opens so wide, you can't even contain what's going on. But you feel a lot of ecstasy. And all your God brothers and God sisters, we're all in ecstasy serving Srila Prabhupada every moment. And we're so happy to finally find God, who everyone is looking for. So that went on for another, that was July, so it went on for another 8 months. almost a year to the day, we traveled across the United States, 5,000 kilometers in an enclosed van. Now I get Brahman initiation from Srila Prabhupada, Kirtan Anandabharat, myself, a few of our god brothers, Kaladri, he came. Now I actually get to meet Srila Prabhupada. I had never met him. I received initiation. But there was no personal contact, no morning walks, no anything. But now I'm with Kirtanananda. I'm in New Dwarka, Los Angeles temple. And because I'm with him, who was first sannyasi, one of the very first, if not first initiated devotees, Prabhupada's first servant, and I'm his servant, not officially, but I was obviously his servant. So he brings us there. And because I'm with him, I get to sit right next to the Vyasasan every morning for class, even though I'm no one. You know, these are the spots for the sannyasis, temple presidents, book distributors. But I'm with Kirtanananda. So you all know that. You got to put yourself next to the person who can get you next to the person to Krishna. That's our business. I did it by accident. I was just fortunate. I got to go on the morning walks. One morning walk, there's just 8 or 10. You see all these morning walks along the beach in Los Angeles. Bhakti Swarup Damodar there. Karundar, big, big devotees. Little Shruta Kirti, somehow or other, he's in there on this morning walk. One morning walk, there was one boy from New Vrindavan that Kirtanananda brought. Now, I'm 20 years old. He's a 16-year-old teenager. He's still in school. And Kirtananda brings him on the morning walk. And we're on the beach. And if you're on the beach at sunrise, you always see those little sand crabs running around, you know, when you come by, they run back into their hole. So this boy became a little fascinated as on the morning walk. And Prabhupada noticed, and we're walking along, and he stopped and he looked at Kirtananda, because this boy was behind watching crabs. And Prabhupada said, he's not serious. You don't want to hear that from Prabhupada, those kind of words. He said, he's not serious. He was gone the next day. He didn't see him anymore. But then I was given a service. In the afternoon, Prabhupada would sit in his garden in Los Angeles, New Dwarka. Just like in Chaupati, Radhanath Swami, that garden was kind of like that. Not so plush, but many, many tulsi plants, gardenia bushes, banana trees like that were in this garden. So the one day, the first day I walk into the garden with Kirtanananda, 3 or 4 brahmacharis. And Karundar hands me Krishna book. It says, whenever Prabhupada asks, you read Krishna book to him. This was my service in New Britain, my very first service. And again, I'm told to read Krishna book to Prabhupada. And I'm thinking, wow, Prabhupada reads books, his books, and he listens to it. And I got to see it every day for like a week. I was the Krishna book reader. And in those days, devotional service was like that, right? Once you accepted a service, that was your service. And it wasn't like, you have anything else to do. I'm kind of tired of mopping the floor every day. You know, can I go? No. There was no questions. That service is your service. And no one would try to take it from you. It's your service. It's personal. Everything's personal. So the first day I'm there, I have no idea. But I saw Nanda Kumar, Prabhupada's servant, in the temple during class, Bhagavatam class, and I see this devotee, and he's taking Prabhupada's cane, giving Prabhupada his glasses, and I'm thinking, wow, somebody personally serves Prabhupada. I guess it was always in me, this personal service. I said, my mother, I didn't say, I headlined, my mother was my first guru. She's all of our first guru, your mother. I didn't have a father. I had a mother, two older sisters. So it was all I learned was serving. Because that's all Italian women did. They cooked and they served. They cleaned and they served. They served. And I didn't have a male figure sitting in the sofa watching television while all the service was going on. So I didn't learn that. That this is my position. I'm the king of the household. Uh-uh. I was told I was the man of the house when I was 5 years old. I was pushing lawnmowers at 6 years old. It weighed more than I did. That was put in my brain. But it all was worthwhile later on. Because I kind of had a natural service propensity. Kirtanananda recognized it. Anyway, I'm sitting before Prabhupada. And I'm holding the Krishna book. He knows now I'm the Krishna book reader. The previous one had gone back to the temple to do his service. And very first time, and Prabhupada looked at me. He looked at me. And he said, I like the cowherd boys very much. And he smiled. And then he said, read. And I started reading a Krishna book story to my spiritual master. And the others were all sitting there. And we're listening. We're excited. And Prabhupada's sitting, eyes closed, and he's listening. And it was a story about Krishna killing a demon. I don't remember the story, but I remember what happened. Because as I'm reading along, very casually, nicely, I came to the point where he slaughtered this demon. You know, we're young boys. You know, I relished horror movies, blood. You know, we like these things, all these nasty things. So when I got to the point and I'm just reading, Krishna, bam! And Prabhupada starts laughing. You haven't seen anyone laugh until you saw Prabhupada laugh. I don't think there's any video seeing the development, the stages of laughter that one can have. Because you can laugh. And Prabhupada started laughing. But it didn't stop. Then his body started shaking. And he's laughing and laughing. And the laughing is getting louder. So now we're all laughing. Because he's laughing. That's the only reason we're laughing, is because he was laughing. We heard Krishna killed the demon and we enjoyed it, but it didn't hit us. But Prabhupada just, his laughing increased. And he had, you know, and you probably have the same thing. In English, we say, you know, you have belly laughs, and then you have knee slappers. That's the ultimate. See, there's an evolution of laughter. So Prabhupada starts laughing, and then his body's shaking, and then his tears are coming out of his eyes. And then the belly is moving. And then finally he's slapping his knee. He's hysterical in ecstasy. He's seeing. You know, we're reading something, but he's on another level. I think, what is going on? And that's when I understood. I knew from the very first moment, this is what I want. But New Vrindavan was austere. And we worked hard. And we understood a devotee, Vaishnava, what is he? He's grave. He's quiet. He's humble. I don't remember reading in the qualities anywhere where he's laughing like anything. And you know, you can see, you all know my nature if you know me. Prabhupada said, Sruta Kirti, he's easygoing. I mean, I'm happy by nature. It's not a bad thing. He didn't say it as a criticism. He said it as a quality. He's easygoing. He said it because they said Shruta Kirti can be, this is years later, Shruta Kirti can be temple president in Hawaii. Prabhupada said, no, he's too easygoing. You need someone heavy. Do you qualify? Yeah, somebody beating you, you don't go to Mangalarti. You know, what are you doing? Calling you, yelling. I later did become temple president in Hawaii. Prabhupada said, very good. He said, you can trust Sruta Kirti. That's also an important quality. You have to be able to trust the managers. The previous one was not trustworthy. So that happened too. So that was it. That's when I understood, this is Krishna. I knew I wanted to be Krishna conscious, but I didn't really, what does it mean? And then I saw what it meant. I saw what ecstasy was in my spiritual master. And I thought, this is, I'm in the right place, and this is definitely the person I want to be with. And I saw Nanda Kumar, his servant, doing all these little things, and I thought, Prabhupada has a personal servant. I never imagined, I was just a farmer in New Vrindavan now. I didn't think, I want to be servant, Prabhupada's servant. No, no, no. Who could be Prabhupada's servant? Not possible. But I admired him so much so, I used to watch him. Yeah. We heard Radhanath Maharaj's class the other day. Huh? What did he say? Love means responsibility. And what did he say? Every detail. Now I learned from Prabhupada, every detail, there's nothing too small that you just, not important. You know, once Prabhupada went to Vrindavan, and in the donation office, right? Fan is running. No one's there. Prabhupada said, I have to travel 5,000 miles, tell you to turn off a fan? Prabhupada didn't miss anything. And somehow or other, due to my nature, good or bad, I always watch. I always see what other people are doing. And I would watch him. I focused on him. So much so that at one point, he looked at me and kind of thought, why are you looking at me, you know? And then I realized, and I turned away, just started focusing on Prabhupada. But I didn't focus on Prabhupada. I was focusing on his servant, doing his service. And I thought, what a wonderful service. Anyway, we were there for the rest of the week. Prabhupada gave me Brahman initiation. He learned my name in his room. Kirtanananda brought me and Kaladri into his room after class one morning. And I'm absorbing everything. And it's by accident. We're in there. Kirtanananda says, Prabhupada, these are brahmacharis from New Vrindavan. Very nice. Prabhupada says, what is your name? Kaladri. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Kaladri. And he looks at me, what is your name? And I'm like, my hands are glued to the floor, sweating. I'm like, just looking at him, you know? And I hear Kirtanananda say, that's Sruta Kirti. Very nice boys. And then his servant came in with breakfast, cut fruits, be yogurt, maybe rasgulla, sandesh, gulab jamun, like that on his plate. Simple. And as soon as he came in, Prabhupada started yelling at him. Where were you at class? I'm sitting. And I'm learning pre-servant material here. Where were you at class? And his servant says, oh, Prabhupada, I was preparing your breakfast. Prabhupada looked at him, cutting fruit? He said, anyone can cut fruit. He said, your business is to be at class every day. We were traveling. When you're traveling with Prabhupada, whatever he did, you did. Prabhupada knew. He was very humble, but he understood, the more you're with me, the better it is for you. Don't ever leave. He knew you need me to go do anything. So he said, your business is to be at class. I learned a couple things. Of course, first thing was, always attend class. The other thing was, don't ever give Prabhupada an excuse. There's no such thing as a good reason, a good excuse. Whatever you say, and I watched this over and over again in the coming years, whatever you say, he'll counter it and defeat you and humiliate you because you're proud. You think you can tell me something I don't know? So I learned that. And that day I got my first Maha Prasadam from Prabhupada's plate. He was going around with the plate. And I saw an orange peel that Prabhupada had completely cleaned. There wasn't one piece of pulp on it. He would eat, you know. But there was an orange peel there. There were other things, choices. But I grabbed the orange peel. Try it sometime. Eat it. Eat an orange peel. Very, very bitter. It's tasty in halva if you grate it. But you don't really want to eat orange peels. But it was Maha Prasadam, my first one. So now the next day I'm going to read Krishna book. But now I have a plan. I'm going to read this story about a demon. One of my favorite stories. And I assured myself, when I read this story and I get to this one line, Prabhupada's going to do exactly what he did 24 hours before. This is what you call illusion. But I was convinced that this was such a funny little point, and it really wasn't any different than everything else. But for me, it was something special. So when we go into the garden the next day, I've got the bookmarker there. My heart's beating double. I'm so like so anxious to read this story, to see what's going to happen today in front of Prabhupada. What is he going to do? He was there in these stories, you know, he's sitting there on the side, taking part. And then I started reading the story of the vid gorilla. There was something about, you know, big black apes, and all the things he did were so irreverent. Yes, it's nasty things. He was very nasty. And it was early on, and I start reading. He's behind the trees and the bushes, and the fire sacrifice is going on. He's busy making faces at all the young old girls, the gopis and all. So you're a young boy. These things are very fascinating and funny. To me it was. This was like my sweet spot of humor. And I got to the point where he starts passing urine on the sacrificial fire. I thought it was hilarious. So then my heart just... And I said it. And as soon as I said it, what happened? Prabhupada starts laughing. Just like the day before. And his laughing grew and grew from just coming from his mouth to his body and his belly. Prabhupada had a nice, we say Brahmin belly. Prabhupada had a nice little Brahminical belly I would rub every day, hoping something would happen. Something's going to happen. I keep rubbing that belly, you know, waiting for... And his belly, and he's slapping his knee, slapping and laughing and laughing. And we're all in ecstasy because it's falling over. There's no choice. You're in the ocean now. You know, and you're, and everyone's in ecstasy laughing, and I'm laughing and laughing. And then we continued on. So he did exactly what I was hoping he would do. Somehow or other. Exactly. I never thought about it at the time. That was pretty miraculous. It was wonderful. The next day comes. And that's what I said. Memory intelligence comes from Krishna. Now, if I had thought it through, I would look for another demon story. Because I thought this was the sweet spot for Prabhupada. As soon as Prabhupada knew... Prabhupada knows everything Krishna wants him to know. And he certainly knew all of us characters in front of him. So we come in, we all offer obeisances. Prabhupada sits down, I offer obeisances, but I hadn't set up. It's a story. But as soon as I sit up, and Prabhupada never said he would look at me and go, read. That meant read. As soon as I sat up, he looked at me, he said, read. There was no chanting, no talking, Prabhupada saying different. He looked at me, he said, read. Because now he knows what's going on. He knew what's going on all the time. And I start looking. I'm trying to find the next demon trying to kill Krishna and Balaram. And he looked at me, he said, anywhere. He said Krishna is like a sweet ball. Wherever you bite, it's sweet. That's something you have to understand over and over again. He would always say, devotees, they'd come into the room. Prabhupada said, get a book. His shelf had nothing but his books. When I first joined him, there were like 3-4 books on the shelf. Chaitanya, not Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, that was it. You know, 3 years later, there's 60 books on that shelf. No other books, no magazines, only BTG magazine. And he's reading his books. It just, I've always marveled at it. So, I read that story, but then that level of ecstasy and laughing, those things didn't happen that time. But that was all right. That was okay. I learned a very valuable lesson. Huh? You don't nitpick. Like I said, Prabhupada, tell the devotees, because he always encourages to read. So if he was in a place like Perth, Australia, these places where there were no temples, he held classes in his room. He said, the program, not that it's just, I'm not in a temple now, sleep in, no class, no Tulsi Puja. No, everything went on. Wherever you are, that's where your temple is. And inevitably, it happened every time. And I would just sit there as Prabhupada servant, because you always know exactly how it's going to go, because we all do the same thing. But a devotee, which book? Any book. So then they get the book, same thing. They hold the book. Where should I read? Anywhere, Prabhupada would say. You're always trying to show us, just be Krishna conscious all the time, always absorbed in Krishna, this way, that way, doesn't matter. Just do it. And then they would start reading. And Prabhupada would sit and listen to his words. You know? So now I'm Brahmin, May 22nd. I go back to New Vrindavan. Kirtanananda makes me the cook, head cook. It means you're the cook. There are no assistants. You're doing everything from 4 in the morning till you go to bed 9 o'clock at night. You're making all the sweets, nice sweets. See, Kirtanananda, again, he taught me how to make burfi, how to make sandesh, how to make rasgulla. These were Prabhupada's sweets. None of this nonsense, things made up by peanut butter and dates. And no. Not you spend 5 minutes. You spend hours cooking for Krishna. You want to satisfy him. Not that you try to shortcut everything for your own. This is American mentality. Do it faster. Easier, with less time, less care, less devotion. You know, that was our mentality. So many things Prabhupada instructed. So now I'm doing all those things. And I have my Brahmin thread. I'm Brahmin. That was a big deal. When I went into the temple in New Vrindavan, there was one Brahmin. It was a woman. Her name was Labangala Teek. Distributed Prabhupada's books forever. Then she went to South India, developed a farm, right? Cows, everything Prabhupada wanted. And us youngsters, we would watch Brahmins chant, because if you look long enough, you'd think they'd start to move off the ground. You know, they were Brahmins, secret mantra. So that was very special. Now I had it. After a couple of weeks, I'm in New Vrindavan. I'm offering. New Vrindavan, you learn here, you live by the moon, right? When you're out in the country. Full moon, you do anything, you know. New moon, you can't even see walking around in total darkness. We had to bathe outside by the well, or there was this little stream. Anyway, I make the offering to the deities in the morning before Mangal Arti, and I can't find my thread. Of course, I was ready to die, kill myself. Apparently, I lost it in the creek bathing in the morning. You know, somewhere it went in the dark. I told Kirtanananda, crying, No. He said, just see your sincerity. Those tears show your sincerity. He was very expert. They made a new thread. I put it on. But it wasn't the thread Prabhupada gave me. It didn't have that potency there, you know. That was, anyway. August, Prabhupada comes to New Vrindavan. Because he's wanting them. Of course, there's no... This was 1972. 3 years have gone by. There's cows, the farmhouses, the temple. No one's thinking about building seven temples. Prabhupada's desire. It was the first thing he said. And of course, we're all thinking, impossible. Just like spreading chanting to every town and village. Impossible. Prabhupada, what did he say? Impossible is a word in Fool's Dictionary. Everything comes through the potency of the pure devotee, the disciplic succession. Nothing is impossible for a pure devotee, which we know that now. At that time, we didn't know these things. So, Prabhupada comes to New Vrindavan. He's there for a week. Bhagavat Sapta. Up on Govardhan Hill. We had our Govardhan Hill, which was like a half a kilometer from the temple. But I'm in the temple cooking. Now there's 200 devotees from all over the U.S. So I'm the main cook. And down from Vrindavan Temple, the main temple, Brahmachari comes down. I've hardly seen this person because he never left the Vrindavan Temple, the first farm. Like a 2 mile difficult walk on a path. You couldn't even bring a horse through it. You couldn't bring a vehicle through it. It was one of our first things. We used to put slag, it's called stone, filling in holes by hand. All of us were doing these things, wheelbarrows by hand, filling in the road so someday a car might go up there. Anyway, this person comes down as Brahmachari. Any of you know his name? Radhanath Das Brahmachari. He was this amazing person just up on the farm. I didn't even know what he was doing. He was doing everything. He was milking cows. He was taking care of the deities, the Shalagram Shilas. Now he's coming down and cutting vegetables for me. Not for me, for the deities. My other assistant was Bir Krishna. He was also Brahmachari. He had come from Florida. So now we're all together. Now there's three of us cooking for 100-something devotees. So none of us got to go hear Prabhupada's classes. I was the person in Los Angeles. I was with them more than anyone. And it was all taken away from me. Because now I'm in my home, New Vrindavan. And I'm busy from morning till night. So people would come sometimes into the kitchen to help. And they'd say, oh, were you on the morning walk? No. I'm here serving, you know. Oh, what a class today. Did you hear the class Prabhupada gave? No. I'm just here serving. I was very upset. Radhanath Maharaj, later on, he would tell the story. Shrutakirti's sweat was going into the khichdi. So much sacrifice. Shrutakirti was making. So I'm in the kitchen. Prabhupada's leaving the next morning in 12 hours. 12 hours he's going to leave and go to Pittsburgh, where I moved into the temple. Pittsburgh. Everything has meaning in Krishna consciousness. I'm beginning to see there's many, many dots, and they all connect. They all connect. So it's 8 o'clock at night. I'm in the kitchen making milk sweets, making kheer, sandesh. Took hours to make nice sandesh, not 20 minutes. You make your quickie, you put it through a champion juicer. No. You got to do everything by hand. And Kirtananda comes in. He's got his cane. He said, Shrutakirti. He said, how would you like to be Prabhupada's servant? I said, yes. Yes, he said, okay. He said, you'll leave with him tomorrow morning. Okay. And he said, I told Prabhupada, because by this time Prabhupada had already have between 66, 1972, he's already been through a half a dozen servants. Every 6 months, every year, new servant comes in. He said, I told Prabhupada, you'll be the best servant he ever had because you'll never leave him. So the next morning, of course, I didn't sleep that night, and I don't have anything to bring. You know, in New Vrindavan, we wore jeans, boots in the mud, t-shirts. You had a dhoti, one, two dhotis. So the next morning, I pack my little bag. He brings me to was called the Madhuban Farm, tiny little house, ranch house. That was Prabhupada's residence when he was in New Vrindavan. This little, very little rancher was called. No basement, no first floor, just a bedroom. Again, this was farm area. Everything was simple, like you see here. So again, he brings me into Prabhupada's room. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's dark, except for a lamp on Prabhupada's desk. That's how he translated. One little lamp, one little bulb, everything else dark. And it's 5 in the morning. Prabhupada has this deep voice. And we go in, we offer obeisances and sit up. Prabhupada had nothing to do with me becoming his servant. Prabhupada didn't take care. Whatever Krishna provides, I accept. No servant, good servant, bad, whatever happens, happens. Huh? He brings me in, we offer obeisances. Kirtananda says, Prabhupada, this is Shruta Kirti. He said, he's going to be your servant. He said, he's a very good cook, but he doesn't know how to massage. Prabhupada said, anyone can massage. That was not true. He was very particular about everything, every detail. Details. Everything's in the details. And Krishna consciousness is about details. And then he looked at me. And he got up. And before getting up, he reached under his table. What did he grab? His lota. I finally saw the lota. It had sweet rice in it. Prabhupada's lota. Traveled around the world with him. 15 times that lota. Huh? What a servant that lota was. He grabs his lota. He got up. He starts walking out the door. His first words to me, follow me. That's the perfect, what else do we do? We're always following. Huh? Always. That's our business. And that's what he said. So everything, you can take it very simply. Oh, I followed him out the door. But you got to, that's my eternal position. Follow me. I followed him. We went about 5 meters. Wait here. I waited. He went into the bush, behind the bushes. He came back after a few minutes. He said, you wash this, you know, with soil and water. He showed me the process. You wash like this, he said, and you put it back under my desk. So that was my very first service, very significant service. I understood my position, literally, cleaning his lota from the bathroom. That's what it meant. That's me. I saw in Juhu Temple the other day, Sridhar Swami's case. I saw everything. I saw one thing. I saw his hat. Know what it says on his hat? Prabhupada's dog. That was me. Prabhupada's dog. Still, I'm just Prabhupada's dog. Now I'm living at his home in Vrindavan. Somehow or other. So he went, he said that, I never had to clean the lota again. Every temple we went to, there was a dozen Matajis back at that time, the brahmacharinis and married ladies. They were doing everything, cleaning Prabhupada's room, cleaning his clothes, ironing his clothes, cleaning, polishing his, that lota. But that was my first instruction. I didn't get very far this morning. We'll be continuing tomorrow, the next day. Did anyone have any questions so far? We have a few minutes left. Otherwise, I'll continue on. Okay. So where's the first place we go? Pittsburgh Temple. The very first temple I was in, where I did my first services. Now I'm Prabhupada's servant in Pittsburgh Temple. I had no concept of what was going on. There were no manuals. There wasn't a Bhakta manual. There wasn't a Japa retreats, Bhakti Shastra courses, GBC training courses, disciple courses. We didn't know anything. I was told when Prabhupada rings the bell, you answer it. Shyamasundar told me. He was Prabhupada's secretary. What an amazing person, Shyamasundar. And Prajumna is his Sanskrit editor. And these are now my companions. Imagine, I was with, they're both 10 years older than me. I was literally 20 years old. They're 30. You know, that's like a vast, I saw them like that. Such senior people. Shyamasundar says, on the airplane, you sit next to Prabhupada. Imagine how they saw things. Not, no, I'm Shyamasundar, I'm Prajumna. I sit next to Prabhupada. You're nobody. You just do whatever. No, you're his servant. You sit next to Prabhupada. He said, in the car, you sit next to Prabhupada. And I'm thinking, okay. I didn't realize the anxiety I was going to be in sitting next to him all the time. And then he said, can you know how to use a tape recorder? That's like asking a 10-year-old if you know how to, you know, use the phone. And they can do everything, right? I said, sure, I know how to push that play and record button at the same. All right, when he walks, you record. Whenever he speaks, you record it. I said, okay. So now we're in Pittsburgh Temple, it's the afternoon. I watched Sudama Maharaj give Prabhupada a massage. And I was so happy because I was literally frightened to touch Prabhupada. He's Prabhupada, he's pure devotee of Krishna, and I don't even know what to do. And I'm watching Sudama. Prabhupada like vigorous massage, strong. And he's doing this in his head. And I don't have taking notes or anything. But I'm watching. I never took notes. I should have. And I see him, you know, in his back, and he's doing, and I think, ah, well, he's here, he can be massaging. So I watched the entire massage. And at the end of massage, Sudama offers his obeisances and says, Prabhupada, he said, I'm going to be traveling now, I'm going to Japan. And my heart just stopped. I thought, oh my God, I got to massage him tomorrow. And then he left. Then they bring lunch. I'm not doing anything yet. I'm just this new boy, some new. They bring lunch. I don't really remember anything. But I'm sitting in what was his bedroom for the day, and Prabhupada's in his sitting room. And I'm looking in his suitcase. There's not a whole lot in his suitcase. He was a sannyasi, after all. Some dhoti, kurtas, a sweater, chadar, and that bizarre-looking cooker. You know, look like a bomb, you know. You'd never go anywhere with that in a suitcase nowadays. They would have come after you so fast if they x-rayed and saw this thing in there, you know. And I'm looking, cooker. I didn't know cooker. I didn't call it a cooker. It was just this device. And while I'm looking at everything, there was one other thing in there. When I was looking at everything, I heard a bell ring. That was the bell. I know I heard lots of bells from childhood, but this was the bell. And I'm literally next door, like 10 feet away. So I hear the bell. I get up, boom, go in the room. I offer obeisances. I didn't do dandavats. Always did obeisances. Anyway, so my first time now as a servant, I offer obeisances and I sit up. And I'm just looking at Prabhupada, and he's looking at me. And he doesn't say anything. We're just looking at one another. So I said, "Yes, Prabhupada, what can I do?" He said nothing. He said, "I just wanted to see how fast you were." The very first time he rang the bell, what did he do? He took all that anxiety I had and he joked. It wasn't a joke. He was serious, but it was joking, like you hear Maharaj give the class the other day. "I have a really special story. If you're sleeping, please wake up." Then he starts talking of, what was it, the perplexity? All you engineers out there, he pokes. You all think you're so important, so intelligent, huh? You poke. But Prabhupada was humorous. He made me laugh. And my anxiety started to go away. Because I was in nothing but anxiety. And then I'm still, he's just looking at me. I said, "Anything else?" He said, "No." I'm sitting there because I don't know what to do, what my position is. I said, "Should I go now?" He said, "Okay." Then I left. That day we traveled to Dallas. Radha Kalik Chanji, the very first Gurukula. And New Vrindavan, first farming community. This was Prabhupada trying to establish Gurukula. So we went there for 3 days. Those 3 days he showed me how to use the cooker and give a massage at the same time. I gave a massage in the kitchen, on the kitchen floor, the cooker up on the stove. I won't give you the details about preparing the cooker, but for 3 days, he's training me. So then the first day I used the cooker with his help, show me how to make the chances, spicing everything. There were only simple spices in U.S. then, cumin, coriander, asafoetida, turmeric. Sometimes you could get mustard seeds like that. So then after lunch, Prabhupada took a nap. Shruta Kirti's not taking a nap. I was raised by Kirtananda. Naps didn't exist other than Srimad Bhagavatam class. In the class. Then you could nap if you were careful. Sometimes the temple commander had a squirt gun. That was his joy, waiting for you to nod. It was very effective. So now it's like a half hour after Prabhupada completed his lunch, and I hear the bell ringing. So the doorway was, Prabhupada's asana was here, and this is the door. So I walk in the door. I don't go in front of him. I'm literally right next to him. It was very intimate. I never realized, I have realized, the intimacy to be with Prabhupada and how he would deal with you differently. So I offered a basis right next to him. I'm practically like, you see that one photo of me leaning over his cushion, looking at his book that had just arrived. It's so wonderful. Prabhupada was so merciful. So I offer obeisances and sit up. He looks at me. "Sruta Kirti, your name's too long." I said, "Tell that to Jaipataka." And he looks, he says, "From now on I'll call you Sruto." That's a very Bengali flair, Sruto. I said, "Yes, Prabhupada." He never called me Sruto after that day, but he said it to me. Again, it's just this, he's just molding me into this happy little brahmachari to serve him. Not afraid, but he's still looking at me. I'm right next to him. He says, "Do you take a nap after lunch?" I thought that was one of those, "No, Prabhupada." I thought he was questioning. Of course, I'm always in Maya, but I'm thinking, he thinks I'm sleeping. So, New Vrindavan, like I said, only during class. You were up. Everyone was up no later than 4 a.m. And then he looks at me and he says this quietly. He said, I'm an old man. He said, when you're old, he said, you can't sleep too much at any one time. He said, so sometimes I take a nap after lunch. And that's all he said. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, who is this person? I mean, I knew what Prabhupada, who he, I had some understanding. Prabhupada's pure devotee. When I'm awake, I'm in Maya. When he's apparently sleeping, he's Krishna conscious. We're like totally the opposite. But he said that to me. And what does it do? Whatever little affection you're trying to develop, it just... You think, I'm with this person. He's not from this world. There's no one bigger than him. There's no one more humble than him. And I'd see it all the time. But he said it to me. And it was like the next step in me becoming peaceful, being his servant, seeing I want to be with this person. The very first morning walk, it was in Dallas. It was chilly that morning. Prabhupada had his chatter, sunrise. And as the sun went up, it got a little warm. And he hands me the chatter. He just took it off. It's all open. And he hands it to me. I'm his servant. And I'm like holding his chatter. I don't even know what to do with it. I don't even know how to fold a chatter. And he looks at me. And he grabs it from me. And he's like this. And someone took a picture. It's my first shot being with Prabhupada as his servant that's on a photo. And it's him showing this total clown how to fold a chatter. I didn't know how to clean a lota. I didn't know how to fold a chatter. And I'm going to be traveling with him. He showed me how to fold the chatter. And then I folded it and put it over my arm. So that was day two. Day three, training. And I'm sure he's praying to Krishna, please don't let this one go away after a few months. So I've already gone over time. So we'll stop here. I know we're on the farm here, retreat center. Everyone has much service to do. So thank you all very much. We'll continue on tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.